Vision TV is Canada's multi-faith and multicultural channel. It's available on basic cable and satellite in about 10 million homes across the country. But here's the problem. Soon, Vision TV might be hard to find on your TV or not available at all. Vision, of course, is part of the Zoomer family. Our founder and guiding light, Moses Neimer, joins me in the studio to talk about it. Moses, great to see you.
Hey, Goldock.
What's happening here, and what do we need to know about this situation that seems fairly dire for Vision TV?
What's happening is that Vision was licensed 25 years ago. The CRTC, the regulator of broadcasting in Canada, had a good idea at the time. It was faced by applications from single faith organizations who wanted to take advantage of the teaching power of television to reach their communities and send out their message. The commission at the time reasoned that if they gave one, you know, such a license to the Catholics, the Protestants would have to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many flavors of Protestantism. And of course, in a country such as ours, with so much immigration, variety of different cultural groups, the other religions would not be far behind.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of that, and especially given that at that time, spectrum was still relatively scarce, they decided to license a single operator with a multi-faith mandate. And that was in a way profound and I think today, given the state of the world, more profound than ever, because it meant that all the faith groups and eventually the racial groups that espouse these different faiths have to meet in one place. They've got to meet and at least be visible to each other, as opposed to each hiding, as it were, behind their particular truths.
A path to understanding that wasn't there perhaps before, you could argue.
Exactly. And so the commission decided to give out this license, and in order to help launch this very worthwhile effort, which did not have an apparent commercial component to it, they granted this service the privilege of basic carriage. That meant that it would be available in every home that was attached either to cable or to satellite. And that's how it's been ever since. And the service began, you might say, as a kind of services and sermons sort of service in its early days. And then slowly it began to broaden out. And it broadened out in this sense that it took on more of a wider spiritual interest. It continued to provide, as it does today, airtime to any legitimate faith group that needs the vehicle, which Vision is, in order to get its message across nationally, efficiently, and in a high-quality environment. But we know that the modern era is also characterized by fewer and fewer people who are going to the mosque, to the synagogue, to the church. But at the same time, the great questions of existence continued to be with us, right? Who are we? Where did we come from? What is our purpose? And of course, faith offers many people a form of comfort, let alone access to this comfort, especially for people who are shut in, who are poor, who live in small communities, who are far away from these institutions. And so the program broadened out to embrace this more, as it were, Catholic definition of spirituality. And then I come along and I said, well, the people who gravitate to this kind of service are generally older. That makes sense. People turn their minds to matters spiritual as they age. And the industry had sort of condemned Vision for exactly that. There was a sort of a bit of a derisive tone to, well, they only attract old people. And I thought, well, what's wrong with old people? and of course, that's where the entire Zoomer phenomenon and the Zoomer philosophy comes to bear. So that's the setting. The thing that's at issue is that the rules which permitted Vision to be available on BASIC have come to an end. They actually expired in August 31 of last year.
Well, what's broken?
And in that intervening period, the commission had over the years granted more and more power to the distributors to decide what was offered in what way and at what price. This was done over the years because there was an ideology of deregulation, and some of it was done in the name of consumer sovereignty, because when you have packages, there's always somebody who says, well, I don't want that channel, and I resent the pennies that go for that channel. What's happened in the intervening period, the mother of all intended unintended consequences, is when this world of specialized television began in the early 1980s, there was a pretty clear separation between the people who ran the hardware and the people who provided the content. In the last few years, the people who ran and owned the hardware have bought up most of the people who own the content. And there are only a few independents left, such as ourselves. And with the expiry of these basic carriage rules, the people who own the hardware and most of the software are now in a position to move us around or take us off for all matter of reasons, willful or otherwise. They just have the power to do that.
Well, they have their own stuff that they would want to put there.
Well, because basic is very good real estate. What people should know, I'm sorry it's taking so long to bring out all the facts, is Vision is also the least expensive, most efficient service television, because Vision actually only gets, regardless of what people are charged, 12 cents for each subscriber a month. So it costs less than $1.50 a year to have Vision. And, of course, over the years, Vision has gotten better and better, and that means more and more people are actually watching Vision. And, you know, we have a little bit of television know-how, and we brought a little bit of flair and marketing to the proposition. And so now some 3 million people a week in Canada look in on Vision and have acquired the habit of finding Vision there, and their cost of getting Vision is pennies. It's really negligible compared, say, to what people have to pay, even those who don't like sports, you know, for the sports channels that are also baked in to some of these packages.
So the packages under this system, we would no longer be on basic cable, as it were, should this happen.
Right.
And we would wind up somewhere else on some other package,
or
we disappear altogether?
We could, because according to this new incarnation of the rules, the operators involved could do what they wanted with us.
Literally. Take it or not take it, for example.
And that's a hell of an uncomfortable way in which to live. Yeah. So where we find ourselves today is that we are attempting to negotiate renewals of our contracts with the various carriers, and generally speaking, they've been elusive. And they've been elusive because the matter is not quite settled. There's one faint hope clause in the Broadcasting Act, and it goes by these bureaucratic initials, 91H. It's clause 91H. And it allows the regulator to issue what's called a mandatory order to tell the distributors, the cable operators, the satellite operators, that they must continue to carry such and such a service on basic.
Right.
And the commission has actually deployed this particular weapon in its arsenal in favor of things that have high ideological value, high importance and symbolic value for the Canadian system. For example, they require all cable and satellite operators to carry the Aboriginal channel. Right, they require that they carry French language services right across the country. It doesn't matter whether people do or don't watch. The Weather Channel enjoys this particular privilege. Weather is an abiding concern for Canadians, and this channel has agreed to carry the emergency signal should some terrible calamity befall. And what we're saying to the commission is we've been there for 25 years. This is a profound habit and an important mission. This is the place where the religions and the races can meet. And it would be a terrible thing, a kind of unnecessary piece of vandalism, really, for this to be removed, especially at a time when the need is greater than ever, when the cost is, as I say, negligible, de minimis, and more Canadians are actually rallying to the service. The nuance that we've added, which is also a new factor in the broadcasting system, is that the Commission over the years has been very sensitive to all kinds of minorities, linguistic minorities, religious minorities, racial minorities. But it has neglected to notice that the biggest underrepresented minority of all are the Canadians who are aging. That this sudden manifestation of some 40% of the population, or completely ignored by popular culture, and because commercial operators, you know, chase advertising, which is targeted at 18 to 34s and 25 to 54s, generally speaking, there is not another service that not only attracts older viewers, but speaks to them and ultimately for them. That's the mission of our organization, and vision is a hugely important instrument in that fight.
But let me try to complicate it further,
sure,
so I
please.
Can understand it and people can understand it.
Yeah.
So the CRTC, in the best possible terms for vision, would issue this mandatory order to make the service mandated across the country. But what as to position? Those are two different things, aren't they?
There's a million ways in which we can be both helped and hurt by a distributor.
Yeah.
A distributor who likes a service and thinks they can make a lot of money off a service will market the service on their own. They will give it a more favorable channel position. Vision used to have a position in the 20s, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were quite arbitrarily moved. This was years ago, before my arrival. They're now in the kind of 60s, typically.
Right.
If you live in the city, you can find it on channel 60, on the Rogers system, as mm-hmm. an example. But we're talking about an even more drastic way in which a distributor can hurt us, which is to say they can either remove us or they can put us into different packages which could reduce our access to the public by an infinite amount, literally. It could go down to half as much. It could go down to 10% as much.
Assume for a moment that the CRTC mandates the service, that it would be carried, that
right.
that carriers do have to carry it.
Yeah.
But is there any tool the CRTC can use to say, keep it, in other words, leave it alone, keep it where it is now? There doesn't seem to be any way for the CRTC to do that under this new way of looking at things.
Well, that's right. There was a time when the commission would indicate that you had to keep a channel, say, in the first 30 placements.
Right.
Generally, that regime has faded away. And as I say, all of this kind of drive to deregulation in the name of the market always pretends that people behave rationally. They make the best decisions for their community and their customers. And we know that's not true. Mm-hmm. We know that people behave preemptively. They can behave vindictively. There may be an executive of the BDU listening right now as we're speaking, thinking, I'll get that guy, right? I'll teach him. Because we're really at their mercy. The commission, having retracted this privilege, now has the ability to at least reassert it. I want to say one other thing, which
right.
is the commission over the years was quite reluctant to engage in this hearing. It has been scheduled and postponed several times. Now, finally, it's on. The hearing will start on April the 23rd.
Yeah.
Deciding who would be heard at this hearing, the commission opened it up to everyone, which means that all kinds of newcomers have now come spilling into this hearing. And they're saying, well, license me and force the Canadian public to pay so much and so much for me. And the most notorious example of that, of course, is Pierre Carles Pelladeau's right-wing news channel called Sun TV. He's lost a major amount of money on this effort, and having been a fierce free enterpriser, he's now decided he'd like a little subsidy. And I think that's unfortunate for us, and I take a risk because mm-hmm. he owns cable operations in Quebec. He owns most of them, right? There are only two real operators in Quebec. And so, again, if he took offense to my making this point that there is a difference between those of us who've been there for 25 years and are saying it costs nothing and leave us alone, and those who are saying, well, here's a new idea and I want to offer up a whole bunch of new services and I want those services to enjoy the same access as the services that have been there for
so the
all these
so
years.
The concerns and problems so it, of vision get diluted in
well,
all of
and
this.
It gets muddied and we get besmirched because you know some of the journalists who can see the irony of the Videotrome position throw us into the same bundle. Oh, yeah. These guys are demanding, you know, unearned privileges, and why the hell should we make Moses Neimer any more comfortable in life? And they miss the fact that Vision TV and the whole Zoomer enterprise is not an easy pathway to riches. You know, we're in it for a mission. We have an important statement that we're making in society. You know, we're aligned with CARP, which is the advocacy that looks after seniors and Canadians as we age. All of society is grappling with this new phenomenon of longevity. We're at the heart of that discussion. And we're also at the heart of a new medium by which people who want to talk to this community, this neglected community, can do so efficiently because they have vision, they've got this radio station, they've got our magazine. It's all of a piece. To have the Vision television channel abruptly remove at the base of this, as it were, triangle of access would be a disaster.
All that's really required then for Vision TV is for Vision TV to be left alone.
That's all we want. Hands off Vision TV.
I mean, keep it the same.
Right.
Keep us in the same place.
And by the way, Vision TV has not had an increase, not a penny's increase, in 8 years. I don't know of any other service on the planet, certainly none that belong to these cable and satellite. They're called BDUs, Broadcast Distribution Undertakings, and they're called VI in the business. They're vertically integrated. This is a new phenomenon, and there are voices out there that say this deregulation and concentration now has gone too far, and what started out as a gesture in favor of consumer sovereignty is now going to damage the consumers because they're going to have channels that they're used to removed and other channels that belong to these distributors shoved down their throat.
There are going to be a lot of Zoomers out there who are going to be very concerned about this and will want to do what they can.
Yes.
What can they do?
Well, they can go on our website, which is protectyourvision.com, and get all kinds of information. Or they can address their letters to the CRTC, reference this hearing, April 23rd, having to do with a mandatory order to continue to keep Vision on basic. If all that's too complicated, they can send their letters into this radio station. We'll forward them to the CRTC. If they're really wound up and they want to do more than just add their own voice, they can gather a group of friends. They can tell their MP how they feel because this is, in some ways, an important political issue. And if they are deeply engaged with their own faith group, they really should be speaking to their local faith minister, priest, imam, and getting them engaged, because we have been an important vehicle this year to some 90 different faith groups who could in no other way get their story out to the Canadian public on a national basis at a reasonable price. There's simply no other medium of doing it.
Moses, thanks very much for explaining this to us. We all have our fingers crossed.
Thanks.
All right. Moses Neimer, our founder and guiding light on the future of Vision TV and the fight that lies ahead.